RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headline. Security guarantee for journalists is a must. Indonesia is able to unite democracy, autonomy, and press freedom. Indonesian Press Council ensures freedom to the press which obey the journalist's code of ethics. And now the news in detail. The commemoration of World Press Freedom Day held in Jakarta Convention Center since May 1st to 4th, 2017 has become an important moment to discuss several issues and challenges faced by journalists in the world. Journalists must obtain protection while doing their task in response to this case. Expert on media literacy from Sweden, Ulla Karlsson, to the Voice of Indonesia on the sideline of World Press Freedom Day in Jakarta on Wednesday, said that not only a company or media organization, but also government has obligation to give optimal protection for journalists while they are on duty.
I want people from different parts of the world to come together to discuss this most important issue regarding freedom of expression for everyone without restrictions, and also for the Indonesian people to listen, to discuss, to learn, reflect, and to contribute to the discussion. And protection for all journalists, it is most important, and it's a duty of the state. It's a duty of the companies, it's a duty of media or journalist organizations, NGOs and civil society. But of course, it's the state is most important. And it's also on national, regional and international levels. Today, you need global solutions because the world is globalized. So all states have to work in this for this issue and to implement all global agreements regarding the safety of journalists.
Moreover, Ulla Karlsson, who is also professor in journalistics of the University of Gothenburg in Sweden, said prosperity level for journalists becomes a problem in many countries in the world until nowadays. She said journalists need to get higher salary so that they can reach better future. Ulla Karlsson also explained welfare for journalists is part of human rights. Indonesia Vice President Yusuf Kalla has officially opened the commemoration of World Press Freedom Day 2017 that was held in Jakarta from May 1st to 4th, 2017. Yusuf Kalla, in his opening speech in Jakarta Convention Center on Wednesday, said that Indonesia is really grateful because it has been chosen as the host of the World Press Freedom Day 2017 commemoration. According to him, it will set the Indonesian position and views about the importance of a country to keep a good and responsible press freedom for the improvement of the nation. Beginning on the Reformation era in 1998, Indonesian press drastically transformed so Indonesia becomes a nation where press freedom is truly appreciated. Yusuf Kalla explained, in this democracy era, there are three things that have been changed in Indonesia, namely democracy, autonomy, system, and press freedom. According to Vice President Yusuf Kalla, Indonesia is a country that has successfully run the three elements.
Memang banyak mempertanyakan bagaimana Indonesia.
Many people are asking how about Indonesia, where Indonesia is a predominantly Muslim country, but it can simultaneously implement democracy as well as press freedom. Simultaneously, many countries in the world cannot unite these three things, but Indonesia can unite democracy, autonomy, and press freedom simultaneously. The Vice President Yusuf Kalla furthermore added that press freedom in Indonesia is very fundamental. Press freedom is protected by the Constitution based on human rights issue in connection with the rights to express opinion. In addition to publish a media, there is no longer require long license. Therefore, Indonesia currently has 2,000 printed media, 1,100 radio, 394 national and regional television, and 34,000 online media. According to him, it is an expression of effective press freedom, even though the press has responsibility toward ethics and internal rules of media respectively. Yusuf Kalla said that media should be able to create peace, not conflict or injustice. The Indonesian Press Council is an institution to protect the media to have freedom expression that adheres to the journalistic code of ethics. It was stated by Imam Wahyudi, a member of the Press Council at a press conference held on Tuesday, May 2nd, in a series of events celebrating the World Press Freedom Day 2017 in Jakarta. Imam Wahyudi explained about the right to guarantee the protection of media freedom, which is in line with journalist code of ethics, but it is often administratively complicated or even criminalized for the benefit of certain parties.
Then here, there is a positive content obeying the ethical code, but the terms of the administration has not been fulfilled. In this context, the Press Council does not turn a blind eye. The Press Council will try to mediate, including by communicating with the police to avoid criminalization.
It was stated by Imam Wahyudi in response to constraints faced by the media in distributing information that often occur the media crew. These cases have become the main focus of the Press Council in fighting for press freedom in Indonesia. Imam also emphasized that the duty of the Press Council is to maintain the freedom of the press, not to skewer the press, so that in the end, it can be beneficially to the public and will not be freely abused. Commemorating the European Day on May 9, the European Union or EU representative in Indonesia hold a full month series of cultural activities in various cities in Indonesia. This was announced by EU Ambassador to Indonesia, Fengsang Gwerang, at a press conference in Jakarta on Tuesday. These activities include race, running, European Film Festival, piano concert, jazz music concert, workshop, and business conference. This series of activities, according to Fengsang Gwerang, reflect the close relationship between Indonesia and the European Union.
And finally, I just wanted to stress how much these various cultural events fit very well with our overall relation between Indonesia and the European Union. We have, as you know, a very strong and trustful relation in the political sphere, with a very trustful dialogue at all levels, including at the level of the president. We also have, obviously, very strong economic relation between Indonesia and Europe.
Ambassador Fengsang Gwerang further said the European Union investment in Indonesia has created employment for 1.1 million people. In addition, in the field of education since 2004, 1,200 Indonesian students have received scholarship to study in Europe. Meanwhile, about 100 European students annually get an invitation to study in Indonesia. On the second day of the World Press Freedom Day 2017 in Jakarta on Tuesday, a roundtable discussion was held between the Minister of Communication and Information Technology, Rudiantara, Assistant Director General for Communication and Information, UNESCO, Frangula Ru, and the European Union Ambassador to ASEAN, Francisco Fontan. In the discussion discussing the importance of security guarantee for journalists in Southeast Asia, Assistant Director General for Communication and Information UNESCO, Frank Laru, said the state must guarantee press freedom for expression. At a press conference on the sideline of the World Press Freedom Day 2017 in Jakarta on Tuesday, May 2nd, he explained the freedom means here is the freedom to maintain the confidentiality of informants and to obtain both online and offline information. In addition, the state also needs to provide security guarantees for journalists.
We believe that in parallel to that, the safety of journalists has to be guaranteed. This is a profession that cannot function if there is harassment or if there is especially sexual harassment against women, which is rising around the world, or if there is intimidation or fear. This is why this is very important, and this is a message we take everywhere, to all parts of the world.
Frank Laru further explained that there are four elements when discussing the security of journalists. The elements are the legal framework related to security of journalists, capacity building for law enforcement and journalists themselves, resolution of cases of violence, and dialogue between communities and law enforcement. UNESCO encourages ASEAN countries to commit to improving security guarantee for journalists and the ASEAN Human Rights Commission to make regional reports on freedom of expression. On May 2nd, Indonesian people commemorate the National Education Day. Education is the right for every Indonesian people as an effort to educate the life of the nation and state. Sadly, not all Indonesian people get equal access for education and achieve the expected quality of education. Vice President Yusuf Kalla encouraged the improving quality of education in Indonesia by making comparison with neighboring countries such as Malaysia, Singapore, and Vietnam. The government is also serious about improving the quality of education by allocating 20% of the state budget for education in Indonesia. Regional Education Agency is also obliged to ensure facilities and infrastructure of teaching and learning activities. This is to encourage equality of education in the region, especially in areas that have less accessible education.
From time to time, our education has been relatively advanced. But when comparing with other countries, well, sometimes other countries are faster than us. Let's say by comparing it with Singapore, Malaysia, or even with Vietnam.
Vice President Yusuf Kalla added that efforts to equalize the quality of national education are also done by implementing the national examination throughout Indonesia. He mentioned that national examination is standardization and benchmark of the success of the learning and teaching activities in which national exam standards are considered still below the national average of Malaysia, Singapore, and Vietnam. He also expected national exam standard to be improved according to the quality and quantity of supporting facilities for teaching and learning activities at all educational institutions in Indonesia. And the last item, Chairman of the Indonesian Press Council, Yosef Adi Prasetyo, said that Indonesia is role model of press freedom in the world. In a press conference on Tuesday, May 2nd at the World Press Freedom Day 2017 in Jakarta, he explained currently there are 47,000 media in Indonesia, consisting of 2,000 printed media, 1,600 radio and television, and 43,300 online media. According to Yosef Adi Prasetyo, Indonesia is designated as the host of the World Press Freedom Day in 2017 because Indonesia is a country that upholds the practice of the press freedom.
This is a pleasing moment because Indonesia is entrusted by UNESCO to host the World Press Freedom Day 2017. We know that Indonesia is part of the role model of the press freedom in the world. The Press Council feels that this is an important moment in this world press freedom because we will share experiences.
Yosef Adi Prasetyo further explained, at the end of 2016, many hoax news emerged in Indonesia. The hoax news is associated with increasing political tension. According to him, the government, civil society, and journalists strive to fight the hoax news. Until now, Yosef said the number of hoax news has decreased and is easily characterized. And to end the news, here are the main points once again. Security guarantee for journalists is a must. Indonesia is able to unite democracy, autonomy, and press freedom. Indonesia Press Council ensure freedom to the press which obey the journalist's code of ethics. And that was the news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, coming up next, our commentary entitled Japan and Tensions in Korean Peninsula. In addition to South Korea, Japan is also deeply concerned with a series of ballistic missile tests conducted by North Korea recently. In some tests, the missiles were directed to the east of North Korea and fell in the Sea of Japan. It is natural that Japan currently psychologically disturbed by North Korea's activities has finally taken part in a massive military exercise by the United States with South Korea. Similarly, their European allies France and Britain eventually participated in joint exercises around the Korean Peninsula. Tensions have risen since North Korea threatened to shoot any American ships coming closer to the Korean Peninsula. North Korea itself has conducted several nuclear tests and ballistic missiles. U.S. President Donald Trump promised to prevent North Korea from firing long-range missiles into the United States. For that, President Trump asserted he would use all means, including military attacks. For Japan, the delivery of Izumo helicopters and destroyers in the joint exercises in the Western Pacific became the first since the enactment of the new Act of 2015. The law allows the Japanese government to protect allies from the threat of attack. The law itself has been heavily criticized in Japan for violating Japan's peaceful constitution after World War II. According to opponents, the enactment of the law could drive Japan to undue warfare. Nevertheless, the Japanese government still sent its ship to the exercises. The world community does not expect an open conflict in the Korean Peninsula, for it can affect across Asia. North Korea needs to lessen the spread of threats and reduce the tensions, and the United States should withdraw its fleet from the waters of the Korean Peninsula. In the meantime, China has warned that an open conflict will not bring benefits and victories to anyone. That was the commentary.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, here is Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from the past as recorded in history. We begin with an event about the establishment of the European Free Trade Association on May 3, 1960. The European Free Trade Association, EFTA, is a regional consisting of four European states: Iceland, Liechtenstein, Norway, and Switzerland. The organization operates in parallel with the European Union, and all the four member states participate in the EU single market. On May 3, 1960, the EFTA was established to serve as an alternative trade bloc for those European states that were unable or unwilling to join the then European Economic Community, EEC, which subsequently became the European Union. The Stockholm Convention to establish the EFTA had been signed on January 4, 1960 in the Swedish capital by seven countries known as the Older Seven. Since 1995, only two founding members remain, Norway and Switzerland. The other five, Austria, Denmark, Portugal, Sweden and the United Kingdom, had joined the EU in the intervening years. Currently, only Iceland, Norway, Switzerland and Liechtenstein are still members of the European Free Trade Association, EFTA. Now we continue with an event which is commemorated every May 3rd, the Day of Press Freedom. In 1993, the United Nations General Assembly decided May 3rd as the day to celebrate a basic principle of press freedom for the sake of measuring press freedom in the world. Since at that time, the date of May 3rd is commemorated to defend freedom of media from independence attack and giving honor to the journalists who died in running their professional duties. May 3rd becomes the day to encourage public initiative to fight the press freedom. The World Press Freedom Day also becomes a momentum to urge government to keep their commitment toward press freedom. We conclude today in history with an event which occurred on May 3rd, 2006. Armavia Flight 967 crashed in the Black Sea. The Armavia Flight 967 plane flew from Yerevan Airport, Armenia on Wednesday, May 3rd, 2006, early morning to Sochi Airport, Russia. The weather in Sochi was bad and visibility was limited. When arriving in Sochi at about 1:10 p.m., the pilot got a bad weather report at the destination airport. A quarter of an hour later, the pilot decided to take the Airbus plane back right to Yerevan. But the pilot is still asking for the latest weather report. 4 minutes later, the pilot returned to Sochi as the weather report had improved. The airport crew immediately warned if the clouds meet a height of 100 meters. The plane at an altitude of 300 meters immediately has to rise again. Unfortunately, the speed of the plane had came down, so it crashed into the water and destroyed. All 113 passengers and crew were killed. The investigation has finally found the cause of this plane crash is bad weather. Listener, that was today's segment of Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome back to Voi Green. Today we'll take you to talk about the Danish minister visits Harapan Forest of Jambi. Danish Minister of Cooperation and Development Ulla Tørnæs visited Harapan Forest Ecosystem Restoration Area in Batanghari Regency, Jambi Province, on Sunday and Monday. Minister Ulla Tørnæs, who was accompanied by Danish Ambassador to Indonesia Kasper Kling, along with his entourage, reviewed the CAM area of PT Restorasi Ecosystem Indonesia Reki. The Danish minister and entourage, directly greeted by dozens of Orang Rimba children from Batu 9 upon their arrival at the PT Reki camp. During his visit, Minister Ulla Tørnæs also visited the core area of Harapan Forest Conservation. Arriving in the forest, he and his entourage reviewed one of the monitoring sites on the Puncak Manik Hill, the highest location in the Harapan Forest area. Minister Ulla Tørnæs conveyed, escorted by Tribun Jambi, her visit to Harapan Forest is a follow-up of the cooperation of Danish and Indonesian governments in the field of environmental conservation. On the occasion, Minister Ula expressed her admiration when looking directly at the condition of Harapan Forest, an unspoiled tropical forest. She said the forest is a tropical forest that has an important role in Sumatra as oxygen contributor. This tropical forest has a very important role in the eyes of the international world, Minister Ula Tone said. She hoped forest becomes an area which is capable to pressing carbon emissions and affected to climate change. It is very important to keep Harapan Forest because forest destruction will affect the global climate. Minister Ula Tone also said the existence of forest is very important. The tropical forest can preserve the flora and fauna that live in it. Responding to the condition of forest that still become the target of encroachment and immigration, Minister Ola Tones believes that PT Restorasi Ecosystem Indonesia Reki is able to find the best solution. Earlier, at the end of 2016, Danish Ambassador to Indonesia Kasper Kling also visited PT Reki area and signed the aid given by Denmark to Harapan Forest amounted to 160 billion rupiah. The cooperation between the Danish government and Harapan Forest began in 2012 to 2015 with a total disbursement of 120 billion rupiah. Then the cooperation continues for the year 2016 until 2018 with a value of assistance amounting to 40 billion rupiah. So the total reached 160 billion rupiah. Minister Ula Tone spent the night at Harapan Forest Camp until Monday, May the 1st. On that occasion, she also inaugurated the Besamo School for the Orang Rimba children. That was today's Voigreen.
Here is our news in brief. Security guarantee for journalists is a must. The commemoration of World Press Freedom Day, held in Jakarta Convention Center since May 1 to 4, 2017, has become an important moment to discuss several issues and challenges faced by journalists in the world. Indonesia is able to unite democracy, autonomy, and press freedom. Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla has officially opened the commemoration of World Press Freedom Day 2017 that was held in Jakarta from May 1 to 4, 2017. Indonesian Press Council ensures freedom to the press which obey the Journalist Code of Ethics. The Indonesian Press Council is an institution to protect the media to have freedom of expression that adheres to the Journalistic Code of Ethics. In addition to press freedom, UNESCO emphasizes the importance of security guarantee for journalists. On the second day of the World Press Freedom Day 2017 in Jakarta on Tuesday, a roundtable discussion was held between the Minister of Communication and Information Technology Rudiantara, Assistant Director General for Communication and Information UNESCO Frank Laru, and the European Union Ambassador to ASEAN, Francisco Fontan. Improving education quality in Indonesia by making comparison with neighboring countries. On May 2nd, Indonesian people commemorated the National Education Day. And the last item, Indonesian Press Council, Indonesia a role model of press freedom in the world. Chairman of the Indonesian Press Council, Yosef Adi Prasetyo, said that Indonesia is a role model of the press freedom in the world. And that was our news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's Citizen, we will introduce you to Champlong Natural Park in East Nusa Tenggara Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, around 46 kilometers from Kupang, the capital city of East Nusa Tenggara, there is a natural tourism object which is visited by many tourists, namely Champlong Natural Park. This 2,000 hectare wide park is natural habitat for hundreds of flora and fauna, endemic of Timor Island. Besides, this place also stores natural resources such as spring water and pool that has formed naturally and also natural cave. This park becomes a choice of tourists who visit Kupang because of its beauty and fresh air. Listeners, Champlong Natural Park has many special and various flora and fauna. Most of them are rare. At the park, there is captive breeding of various animals such as crocodile, Timor deer, and python. Tourists can also find original endemic which live at wild nature, such as dove black back and old sister greenish yellow wings. Some wild animals can be found here, such as long-tailed monkey, the lizard, couscous, and many others. At the park, it is also overgrown by cendana tree, which is a plant endemic to the island of Timor. Listeners, Champlong Natural Park is located where natural cave exists. This cave is usually used as calving activities. Besides, there is also artificial cave which belongs to Champlong. The Japanese colonial has ever built cave at the forest which becomes Champlong Natural Park. The cave is used as hidden place when it was attacked by local people. Besides calving activities, tourists can also do cross-country. You do not have to worry when doing cross-country because there is footpath to penetrate tourism forests, which make easy for the visitors to do cross-country activities. Listeners, forest area which is the first time decided as tourism park in 1929 is located at the edge of the road to Su, Hatulue sub-district, Kupang Regency. Its location can be accessed from Kupang to Champlong Forest by using public transportation to Su or private car with parking fee 5,000 rupiah for motorcycle and 10,000 for car. To entrance this tourism object, you must pay 10,000 for adults and 5,000 for kids. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Alam Champlong Natural Park in East Nusa Tenggara Province. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Membatalkan Rencana, which in English means cancelling the plan. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Hello. Hello in English, hello. Bagaimana? Bagaimana in English, how. Rencana. Rencana in English, plan. Hari ini. Hari ini in English, today. Mungkin. Mungkin in English, maybe. Lupa. Lupa in English, to forget. Pergi. Pergi in English, to go. Toko buku. Toko buku in English, bookstore. Maaf. Maaf in English, be sorry. Tidak bisa. Tidak bisa in English, cannot. Mengantar. Mengantar in English, to take. Adik. Adik in English, younger brother or younger sister. Dokter. Dokter in English, doctor. Kepastian. Kepastian in English, certainty. Menunggu. Menunggu in English, to wait for. Sampai jumpa. Sampai jumpa in English, see you. Besok. Besok in English, tomorrow. Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Membatalkan Rencana, or in English means cancelling the plan. The conversation is between A. Andy and B. Budi. Andy. Halo Budi, bagaimana rencana kita hari ini? Halo Budi, bagaimana rencana kita hari ini? In English. Hello Budi, how about is our plan today? Budi, rencana apa Andi? Rencana apa Andi? In English, what is the plan Andi? Andi, mungkin kamu lupa, kita akan pergi ke toko buku. Mungkin kamu lupa, kita akan pergi ke toko buku. In English, maybe you have forgot it. We have planned to go to a bookstore. Budi, oh maaf, saya tidak bisa pergi denganmu. Oh maaf, saya tidak bisa pergi denganmu. In English, oh I'm sorry, I cannot go with you. Saya harus mengantar adik ke dokter. Saya harus mengantar adik ke dokter. In English, I have to take my younger sister to a doctor. Andi, oh begitu, bagaimana kalau besok? Oh begitu, bagaimana kalau besok? In English, I see. How about tomorrow? Budi, baiklah, untuk memastikan nanti aku telepon kamu kembali. Baiklah, untuk memastikan nanti aku telepon kamu kembali. In English, alright. To get certainty, I will call you later. Andi, baiklah, aku tunggu teleponmu. Baiklah, aku tunggu teleponmu. In English, okay, I will wait for your call. Sampai jumpa besok. Sampai jumpa besok. In English, see you tomorrow. That was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you next week with a different topic. Thanks for your attention. See you again and sampai jumpa. Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me in our regular segment of Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition of Music Corner, we'll present you to a band group called Armada. Well, listener,
Let's listen to the first song entitled Kekasih Yang Tak Dianggap by Armada. Happy listening.
Thank you.
Listener, the song that you've just listened entitled Kekasih Yang Tak Dianggap by Armada, a band which formed in 2007 with the name Kertas Band. The band consists of 5 members, namely Rizal, vocalist, Rada and Mai, guitarist, Andit, drummer, and Endra, the bassist. However, since 2012, Armada must be willing to play with only 4 personnel, because Endra still undergoing treatment for meningitis illness. About their works, when the band named Kertas, the band released an album entitled Kekasih Yang Tak Dianggap. Then in 2008, the Kertas band changed into Armada and released an album entitled Balas Dendam. Successfully with the album, Armada re-released an album entitled Hal Terbesar, with 2 leading songs, Mau Dibawa Kemana and Buka Hatimu. Their success was continued on the next 2 albums, namely Saut Hati Sejuta Cinta in 2012 and Pergi Pagi Pulang Pagi in 2014. Then in 2017, Armada released a new single entitled Asal Kau Bahagia. Although the music in Indonesia is dominated by love songs, most of the songs composed by Armada themed affection and daily life of Indonesian community. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Pergi Pagi Pulang Pagi by Armada Band. Happy listening.
Semua akan kulakukan demi kebahagiaanmu. Tak pernah ku keluhkan walau rintangan menghadang. Panas hujan begini, makanan sehari-hari. Tak perlu
genre, the song Pergi Pagi Pulang Pagi by Armada tells about the struggle of someone who worked hard for the happiness of the beloved family. However, the song is not specifically described who are the fighters. Is it the husband to his wife or someone for his girlfriend? In addition to the song, there is also a song entitled Apa Kabar Sayang, which was released in 2012. The song tells about love story. Armada also not specifically defined subjects in their song. So, the song can be about love to someone, or parent, or children, or anyone else. This is deliberately done by Armada because they wanted their songs not always about the romance, but universal meaning, so that anyone can listen and enjoy the songs. In addition to universal meaning, most of Armada's songs are easy listening, so that the listener can easily memorize and singing. The simple and universal lyrics of their songs managed to make the band came from Palembang has millions of fans called Pasukan Armada. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Apa Kabar Sayang and Asal Kau Bahagia by Armada. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Di sana tak tahu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.